If you're finished with that, just put that aside for the time being. And this will be more relevant as we progress through these notes. I'm talking to you about developing charisma. Developing charisma. I want to read a verse to you that's not in your notes as we progress. I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Paul says, "Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church," listen carefully to this order, "first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues." Now, what's significant about that list is helps and administration is listed right along with apostles, prophets, teachers, healing, miracles, etc. And the point that Paul is trying to make, or one of the points, the point I want to emphasize, is that we have a tendency to make a false dichotomy between ministry gifts, pastors, prophets, teachers, apostles, etc., and then administrators and helps. But in God's mind, in the New Testament church context, it's all part of the whole. There's no distinction between those who do what we would tend to think of as spiritual ministry and those who would tend to do what we would think of as organizational or administrative ministry. They're all put together in the same category as a part of the necessary responsibility for Christ's body to build itself up. And so I think the important distinction I want to make, especially as we talk about this topic today, is that if you have a mentality that there's a distinction, well, there are pastors and ministers, the people I work for mostly, they're called by God to do what they do, and I just help them do what they do. I think that's a wrong concept or understanding. God, people who are involved in helps and administration should have the same sense of calling that people who are pastors, teachers, prophets, etc., do. Now, I know at some level, sometimes we just hire people because we need someone to count the offering or to do administrative tasks. I understand that. But at the level that you're at, the level that we're dealing with in a higher administrative, organizational responsibility, there should be a sense of calling. The same sense of calling that someone who's preaching on Sunday feels. It's not just the job that was available that pays pretty good and the hours are okay, but there's a sense of calling by God to do what I do as a leader. Not another category of leader, just a different functioning of the body, a different part, a different aspect, but just as significant, just as called, just as important. And I have to think of myself in that role. It's not someone who just gets things done for the leaders, but a leader myself. Do you think that way about yourself? I hope that you do. I think that's important and significant, and it sort of prefaces what we want to talk about today, developing charisma. We had several goals when we set out to do the staff development with our administrative section, is that we wanted to train you in administrative skills, which are the practical day-to-day skills that you need to do most of what's on your job description. We also wanted to deal with spiritual training, and then leadership skills. So what we're going to talk about today, developing charisma, is really a leadership category. And well, let me give you a little bit of the background on this seminar, this presentation. In the late 80s in the United States especially, there were a number of significant international ministries who had very large moral failures, and it became, well, it was a whole media event for a couple years. And then through the 90s, more of those began to surface. And the emphasis of people who talk about Christian leadership began to become exclusively on character. Obviously, here's people who had high levels of influence, significant amount of gift and charisma, but they had failed in the area of character. So all of the emphasis on leadership training shifted almost exclusively to character. Now, character is important, right? Character is important, right? Yes. And we don't want to take away anything from that, but in all the discussion about character, what was lost is charisma. And both of those are essential requirements for leadership roles. Charisma and character. Now, unfortunately, because of this shift, we tend to think of charisma in a negative light. I know when I start this seminar, I did this recently, I guess a month or two ago, for our LifeBox staff development, and I had to take a whole session to convince them that charisma is actually a good thing. Now, to me, that was an indicator how far the shift has gone. So I'm not saying anything negative about character. Character is vital, but also is charisma. Both of those go together, and leaders need to focus and concentrate on both. They both have a significant role. So when you think about charisma, don't have negative thoughts in your mind, because that's the tendency. Someone has charisma, it's almost tantamount to saying he has no character or his character is questionable. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a foundation of character and also a foundation of charisma. Because I want to define charisma. Charisma, the word, I think, has been damaged maybe by the events that I talked about and various other things, or the way it's used in media. You know, we just went through an election in my country, and there's a lot of talk about charisma. And when the word charisma is used, it usually the connotation is they have a sparkling personality, but they're liars, or you can't trust them. When I use the word charisma, we're not talking about that, okay? We're always talking about it in the context of godly character. But if we want to develop as leaders, and I think if you're here, you do, then we need to spend a little time focusing on charisma. Because as I, this was a number of years ago, I was disturbed by this trend, so I began to do research on charisma, and I found out a lot of things. Obviously, that's why we have a seminar here. But one of the most important things is that charisma can actually be developed, like character. So charisma, as we talk, we're going to explain a little bit more. But charisma is, of course, it's the word gift, right? It comes from the Greek word is charis. And it's interesting, the Greek word charis is translated in the New Testament several ways. Whenever you see the word grace in the New Testament, it's the Greek word charis. Whenever you see the word gift in the New Testament. It's also the same Greek word charis. Whenever you see the word favor in the New Testament, it's also the same Greek word. So it means grace, gift, and favor. And it's something that God gives to everyone. Everybody gets a measure of charis, of gift, of grace. And then we can develop it. We get like a starter kit. And then we have a responsibility. We can add to it. We can cause it to grow. Like any kind of spiritual fruit in our life, it grows. We increase, not just in character, but in charisma. And as we do, our ability to influence people positively increases. So, are you sold? Okay, so charisma is a good thing. Can everybody say that with me? Charisma is a good thing. Again, charisma is a good thing. How about this? I want charisma. I want charisma. Again, I want charisma. All right, good. That'll save me a whole hour. Now, let's look at our notes here and let's talk about charisma. What is charisma? I'm so glad you asked me that question. Charisma is the personal magnetism or attractiveness that God gives people to influence and inspire others. It is the ability to influence others positively by connecting with them physically, emotionally, and intellectually. Now, I worked real hard on that definition. I did a lot of research and studied. You know, it was amazing. I couldn't find any Christian writing on charisma. Not one. All of my research, not one Christian who's ever written on charisma. I thought, well, I guess I need to say something about it. But there is a lot written in the secular world. So most of my research came there, and I had to filter it into a New Testament Christian picture. And so that's the definition I came up with, and it took me a long time to craft it, but I think it's a good one. It's helpful. Charisma is the personal magnetism or attractiveness that God gives people. So it comes from God, but He gives it to you not for your self-aggrandizement, not to advance your agenda, not to become rich and famous and powerful and popular, but to influence others positively. Now, you see, here's the amazing thing. The Bible tells us that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Now, what that means in essence is God gives His gifts to people, whether they repent or not. It's the Bible doctrine called common grace. We see that all throughout Scripture. Jesus said that He causes it to rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Now, rain, in that sense, is the blessing of rain that causes fruitfulness and crops to grow, etc. He blesses the unrighteous as well as the righteous. God gives gifts to men. Then what they do with it will determine their judgment when they stand before God, you see. And so people who, if we think about secular people who have tremendous influence in the media, for example, in music, in television, movies, in politics, other areas of influence, they have that because of the gift of God. God gave them personal magnetism, attractiveness, to influence and inspire others. But they use it for their own selfish gain. And hence, we get the negative connotations that are associated with charisma, you see. Because people without God use those gifts to build themselves up and get what they want and manipulate people, etc. But the proper way to think about it is God gives us these gifts so that we can positively influence other people. And that's what leadership is. It's influencing people. And so I hope a part of your regular prayer life is, Lord, increase my influence. Increase my ability to lead people to have a greater positive impact on their life for your glory, for your kingdom. And in order to do that, Lord, I need personal magnetism, attractiveness. I need your gifts that you give to me, not for my own glory, but for the glory of your kingdom. Is that making sense to you? Everybody okay with that? Do I need to clarify? Any questions or comments or thoughts so far? Excellent. I guess you guys are smarter than the life box. Jeff, you didn't hear me say that. Or maybe they're just more spiritual than you are. I don't know. Here's a quote here. Charismatic leaders can transform the values and aspirations of those who follow them. Their presence and influence causes followers to make great personal sacrifice in the interest of some vision and to perform way beyond the norm. Now, I suspect that before you walked in those doors this morning, most of you very early, few of you thought of yourself as a dynamic, charismatic leader. Now, maybe a few, but I think probably if I would have interviewed you, most of you would have said, no, I don't think about myself that way. Because we tend to think of a charismatic leader according to a certain stereotype. But see, what I'm proposing to you is God's given you charisma, gifts that enable you to influence people. And it may not be the traditional way we think about a charismatic leader, but I want you to think more biblically about yourself. God's given me a certain set of gifts in order, not just so that I can do good financial reports or organize a Sunday service, so that I can influence, inspire others positively for the advancement of God's kingdom. Think about yourself. I am a charismatic leader. That's a paradigm shift for many of you. I can hear your brains right now. He's not talking about me. Yes, I'm really talking about you. Charismatic. Just think charismatic differently, okay? You may not be the flamboyant Pastor Nixon who can dazzle a crowd with his singing and his dancing, or a charismatic Joey Bonifacio who produces these glorious PowerPoint presentations. And but you're a charismatic leader in the place God's called you to influence people positively. All right? So add that to your daily confession. I am a charismatic leader. Like daily confessions in front of the mirror. Look at yourself in the mirror. You charismatic leader, you. Sparkling with personality to dazzle the masses. That's not what charisma is, okay? But the gifts God gives you, you develop them, and you have a greater influence at transforming the values and aspirations of those who follow. And that your presence and influence will cause people to make great personal sacrifices. You can do that, and God's given you already the starter kit. Okay? Now, the difference is some people's starter kit is a lot bigger than others, right? And some people's starter kit is like bigger than our end of our life kit. But that's okay. God knows what he's doing, and he has made each one for his purpose. But what are the gifts that God's given you? How can you develop them more to to be more influential, more attractive leader to influence others. You see, that was the personal inventory survey was all 20 of the things that I discovered from Scripture and my research that you can do to increase your charisma. You can develop your charisma. You can get in touch with your inner charismatic leader and cause it to come to the surface and to blossom. All right? Are y'all still with me?
Yes.
Let's look at five levels of charisma. Now, this is taken from the only Christian teaching I've ever heard about this topic. I've been saved for, I'm in my 37th year. I've been into a lot of sermons, a lot of seminars, heard a lot of preaching, podcasts. It's part of my job to listen. I probably listen to 12 to 15 hours every week. So I get a lot of input over these 37 years. And in that time, I've only heard one person ever do any teaching on charisma. This was probably 24 or 5 years ago. And he'd actually gotten it from a magazine article he'd read on an airplane. So, but I thought I kept it all these years, and it's helpful to understand when we think about charisma, because we only tend to think about the fifth level of charisma. But charisma, it shows up on five different levels at least. And we're going to look at these. Number one, potential charisma is your first fill-in. Potential charisma is unmanifested, undeveloped ability to attract. It's charisma in its rawest form. It's sometimes barely recognizable charisma. It's charisma that hasn't been developed at all. And a lot we could say about that. It often takes a leader to recognize that in a person and to draw it out. And actually, that's one of our responsibilities as leaders. One of our job description, it might not be on your written job description, but it's on God's job description for you, is we're talent scouts. We're on the lookout for talent. And when I say talent, I'm talking about gifts and skills, unique abilities that God's given people that sometimes, oftentimes, they don't recognize themselves. And God gives us as leaders the ability to see things in people that they don't see in themselves, that we can speak to and actually draw out by our encouragement to them and our helping them to develop this undeveloped or potential charisma. There's a young man who attended one of my trainings. When I'm in the States in the summer, I'm in charge of our school of campus ministry. So I lead that. And three summers ago, I think I lost track, there was a young man who came that really shouldn't have come. He got past the screening process. And I guess his main qualification is he had the money for the tuition. And that got him in, and he struggled a lot. But he made it through, and barely, but he made it through. Well, I've kept in touch with him regularly. We have regular email conversations, and I just made it my job to develop the very undeveloped potential charisma in this young man that very few people see much there. But I said, just the glimmer. And it's just been my mission to help develop that. And I think there are people like that in your life who have potential. And be on the lookout. That's part of our responsibility, to be looking for those kind of people and draw out the gifts that are there, the potential charisma that actually hasn't even been manifested. Nobody else sees it, or few see it. Another level of charisma, number two, is charm. Charm is visible attractiveness. Now, the fact is, God makes some people look better than others. Right? I mean, that's just the reality. And, you know, he has the right to make from the same lump of clay one for honorable use and one for dishonorable. And who can say to him, Lord, really? Why did you do this? Couldn't you have a few adjustments? But some people from the womb are just beautiful. They're just all through life, they're just gorgeous. And of course, most of those people use that for their own personal advancement, but they'll be held accountable. You see, so when you see someone that's beautiful, don't get envious. Their judgment will be much greater. You can thank God, Lord, there won't be much judgment for me. God gives them, makes them like that for his purpose, to attract people because there's something attractive. I have four children, and one of my children, my oldest daughter, Katie, since she was a little child, has just been gorgeous. Ever since she was very little, whenever we were in malls or out in public places, people would stop us regularly, want to know if she was a model, or actual agencies, people on the street stopping us. My daughter lived in South Africa for a few years, and a couple years ago when she was living there, she was walking along the street, and a car stopped, and it was a representative from a model agency, and hired her right there on the spot to come take some pictures. So she's tall, she's about 6 foot tall, and she just always had this visible attractiveness, this charm. And I don't know how the DNA combination worked out to be like that, but it's just a reality. And that is God's gift, so that she can influence people for the things that's in her heart, with primarily her real passion is for orphans and for those who don't have parents. And so she's an advocate for the child, the fatherless. And she uses that visible attractiveness. People want to listen to her talk. That's why we go to the movies, right? The beautiful people. Because there's a certain attractiveness that gives them an influence. So it's just a reality. Now, whatever particular starter kit of charm you are given, our responsibility, and we'll progress as we talk about this, our responsibility is to do the best with whatever we've been given. So a lot of people are motivated by vanity. They want to look better, right? That's always a wrong motivation. The proper biblical motivation is, Lord, I'm not much, but I'm going to do the best I can with what you gave me. So I'll try to look as good as I possibly can, with knowing the various limitations that have already been set, but I just do the very best I can. Because I do it not for vanity's sake, but out of stewardship. Because I'm going to be held accountable. And so out of stewardship, I'm going to do what I can do. All right, we doing okay?
Yes.
All right, good. Number three, third level, confidence. Confidence is projected self-assurance, passion, and purpose. And it's a reality with leaders that whether they have very much of level two, personal charm or magnetism, but leaders exude confidence. Confidence inspires people to want to follow. Confidence influences people. And something that can be developed. Rattled leaders panic people. People that radiate uncertainty, people don't want to follow. But when you radiate confidence, not arrogance, but the confidence of knowing God's called me. I don't know why he called me. I really wouldn't have put myself in this position, but he has. I didn't do it. He did it. He gave me gifts and abilities. And so I'm confident in those abilities. And I exude that confidence, and people are attracted to that. See, that's our responsibility as leaders, to show confidence in the areas that God's qualified us or called us to do. And that confidence influences people. That makes sense to you, doesn't it? You think about the people who you're attracted to, that you follow willingly. I'm almost certain all of them exude a great amount of confidence about what they do and what they're called to do. Number four, achievement. This is interesting. Achievement is having done something successfully. There's a power in achievement to attract others. Somebody who's done something, people want to come listen to them. Whether they have a lot of what we think of as natural charisma, that sparkling personality or not, if they've accomplished something, they have a platform. And people will pay money to come hear them talk or to partake of their services. See? Achievement, having done something, is attractive. It causes people to be influenced by you. And finally, our last level is presence. Presence is projecting influence or power without words or actions. Influencing people just by being there. Now, this is usually what we think of when we think of charisma. Now, in my life and my journey and the people that I've known, probably the person who personifies this the most to me is Pastor Rice Brooks. Who I've known Pastor Rice since 1978, so a long time. And he's always had presence. You see, if there's a room of people and he walks in, even if nobody knows him, everybody in the room is going to turn and ask, who's that? You just know. I don't know who he is, but he's somebody. They're just a presence, a charisma that he carries with him. That's the highest level, right? That's like a starter kit that's just way off the charts. And you don't have to be at fifth level to have charisma, right? Not many people do. And thank God that you don't, because the judgment is so much higher. Really, judgment is according to God's gift. So to whom much is given, much is required. And so just breathe a sigh of relief, right? Woo, I'm glad. And then pray for those like that, because there are tremendous challenges. All right, how are we doing? Okay, that makes sense to you? Any questions? Comments? Mimi, grab a microphone, would you please? Could you pass her a... Mimi, what have you heard so far today that has spoke to you or made sense to you? Or tell me a thought you have so far.
For me, it's the new understanding about it.
Yes.
Because we don't really hear much about charisma in our world.
Yeah, nothing
in this
probably.
Ministry. And it really helped me personally to understand how it is super helpful for me as someone God appointed as a leader to learn how to apply this, what all the things that you've just said. And sometimes it's really, well, for me right now, it's a bit challenging.
Sure.
Because really, I don't see myself as someone
yeah.
who's charismatic.
Yes.
So it it helps a lot. Yeah, we have this word, in a Filipino word, we consider ourselves sakto lang.
Okay.
And that's how I see myself.
Sakto lang,
really,
and what does that mean?
Just enough.
Enough.
Yeah.
Let's get rid of that word.
Yeah.
Get that
so
word out
really
of your
helped
vocabulary.
Me understand more. And
yeah.
the idea of knowing that charisma can be developed.
Yeah, that's good news.
I thought it's only for those people who are born with it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Thank you, Pastor Paul.
Certainly. Great. Good thought. Okay. Yeah, Harold.
Pastor Paul, I'm just trying to reconcile this when I first came to Victory. And
yeah.
there this Pastor, I think it was Pastor Winston who was describing Victory, and he said, we are Trinitarian with regards to approaching the Godhead. We are full gospel when it comes to this. And we are charismatic when it comes to worship. So I'm trying to reconcile
now,
charismatic in worship and...
No, stop for a minute. Yeah. Charismatic is a technical term defining us as people who believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit as a second work of grace. So we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, especially speaking in tongues. That's what charismatic means in that sense, okay? So that's not what we're talking about. All right? We're talking about charisma, not charismatic. Now, sometimes the world uses the term charismatic as an adjective to describe someone who has charisma, the noun. When we use the word charismatic, it's a designation of a particular belief set. Okay? We might talk about that in church history or systematic theology, but here we're talking about leadership, we're talking about charisma as gift of God. Can you make the distinction in your mind? Yeah. Okay, good. Helpful, yeah. Sonny?
Yeah. Hi, Pastor Paul.
Hey.
It's a little bit, I want to digress a bit about leadership tying it up to charisma.
Yeah.
Because you know some staff have all charisma, but nothing beyond. Like, they're going to get away with murder because they're just so gifted.
Yeah.
They smile at you. Oh, I'm so sorry, and all that.
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking, how do you balance it? I mean, as a leader, you want to encourage because you want their potential, their gifts to come out.
Yeah.
But then there's also a point, I think, where do you draw the balance between both?
See, I don't think you draw a balance. I think you just emphasize both. So balance is the idea, well, you have too much charisma. We want to push it down. No, I don't think so. You just emphasize what they need. So if they've got charisma coming out the wazoo, then they obviously need emphasis of character.
Yeah.
I think most in this group here, you've got a lot of character. But we need to get some charisma, okay? That's why we're talking about this. So it's not a balance, it's let's push on both. But if you're deficient in one, then you should emphasize that for the time being, because you need to catch up, right? And I think we're charisma deficient, probably. Because probably we've thought negatively about it. Like, to develop my charisma would almost be sinful. I wouldn't be surprised if some of you were thinking that before today. That's not something you do. Yeah, Ramir?
I think a helpful concept with that would be to manage tensions between character and charisma. I think for the task that God has given us, it's how we draw out the character and the charisma needed to accomplish the task. So I think that's what
I mean. Great. Yeah. Good. Any other thoughts? Yeah, Rich?
The charisma we're talking about here has levels, right?
Has what?
Levels, and it does it depend on like on a crowd, on a particular crowd. Like you probably have charisma on like on the masses, but on the upper class you don't have something like that.
I'm not sure I understand. Can you try again?
Parang parang does it depend the charisma? Parang you may have like a different level of charisma on a particular crowd or class or a different level.
Can I explain what she's trying to say?
You can try.
Jeff Eliscopides versus Joey Bonifacio.
Okay, what
that's
that
what she's saying. The charisma is for a certain crowd, and Joe, like you know what I'm saying, like he would be great with this crowd, but he wouldn't work with a certain crowd. But it's still a gift. So what she's trying to say is, you're trying to say that, is it possible that your charisma is only for a certain kind of people, but when you meet another kind of people, it doesn't work?
I think you might be thinking about charisma in the way you were thinking about it before you came in, that it's sparkling personality, or it's the ability to dazzle with words. And I'm trying to get you to think that's not what charisma is. Charisma is God's gift to you to influence people. It's going to look different in you than it will in Joey Bonifacio or Rice Brooks or Steve Merle. But it's nonetheless, there is charisma that you have to be developed. Okay, do you want to follow up?
But you said that a charismatic leader where God places you. Parang you will be a charismatic leader where God places you. So if God places you in this particular crowd or sector,
yeah.
So then you'll have charisma on that. But maybe outside there, it's a different...
Yeah, that might be the case. But I don't really know if I... I don't know how to answer your question.
I think Pastor Poet might be... She's talking about anointing, not charisma.
I don't know.
A certain anointing for a certain kind of people.
Why don't you two to get together in the break?
Good suggestion.
All right, this is a good time for a break. So we'll be back at 5 after 10. 5 after 10.
Second.